This is Shine On, the Health and Happiness Show, with new episodes every week on how to live well. Shine On is heard all over the world as a podcast, but it's heard first on the radio in New York's Hudson Valley.
It's Casey. Thank you so much for tuning in to Shine On. Our guest this week is Sharon Rosen, and our topic is Kabbalah. Hello, Sharon.
Hi, Casey. Good to be with you.
I don't know where to start this conversation. It's big. Let's start with the day we met at a holistic fair in Tarrytown many years ago, right?
Yeah, it's been a long time. And I was there, you know, trying to talk to people about Kabbalistic healing, which is one of the many things that are in my toolkit. And it wasn't easy to get people to come over and talk with me even, because it's so like, you know, what is this? People don't, it's a hard thing to explain in a short, simple way.
Right. How did you get drawn to Kabbalah?
Well, I was raised Jewish. I am Jewish and very proudly so. And, I was on my own spiritual search. You know, I had been, you know, to ashrams and zendos and, you know, very into certain, you know, things that are more new agey kind of spirituality. And you didn't hear about Kabbalah. I didn't hear that word when I was growing up. I didn't hear that word when I was in Hebrew school. But as an adult I probably was in my 30s by then, started to hear about it. Got very curious. Here's this deep spiritual pathway from my own tribe. And it's interesting. You know, there's some stories about Zen that people go and they want to learn, and they go and they knock on the door and the teacher says, no, go away. And they come back and they knock on the door and the teacher says, no, go away. And, you know, they knock on the door and the teacher says, sweep the front walk for, you know, 3 years. You know, you can't just walk in and go, here I am, teach me. And Kabbalah is very much the same way. So my first few touchstones, it was scary, it's hard, it's dangerous. You know, there were a lot of things that were kind of keeping me from getting in. Plus, there's not a book. Like, you can't pick up a book. For all the books that are out there, you can't pick up a book and really learn and understand and embody Kabbalah. And then I met my teacher, fortuitously, Jason Shulman at Omega Institute. And I met him at a brief workshop and then went through his four-year training in healing through the Tree of Life and Kabbalah. And Jason, what he gave me was an embodied relationship with the Tree of Life, which is the main template and blueprint for a lot of the Kabbalistic teachings and awarenesses.
Right.
So, you know, I always say when I'm offering people a talk or something that one of my goals is to confuse you as little as possible, because it's very complex, and also to give you as much as I can, even in a short period of time, like the day that we're going to do at Graymore, an embodied feeling of what this Tree of Life has to offer. Yeah.
Yeah. Got it. Okay. I mean, I say I got it because we've spoken of this before and it's familiar, but there's so many things I want to ask. The Tree of Life, I know that rings bells for people. So if you could just explain the imagery just briefly so they
sure.
can picture in their mind.
Sure. So the image, the physical image that people normally see of the tree is a central column of circles, four circles going down, and then a right and a left column of three circles, and they're all connected with lines. And the tree is, it's actually how, if we go back to the original creation story in Genesis, it's how God brought the world into being from infinite light to manifest reality.
It's how God brought the world into being from infinite light to manifest reality.
I know. Simple.
Simple. Yeah. Got it. But yet that rings a very deep bell, I think.
Yeah.
It rings a very deep bell. And you were going to say?
Well, I was going to say that the other thing is, you know, there's the concept that we're created in the image and likeness of God. And so the tree is representational on many different levels. It's how God brought creation into being. It's aspects of the divine that live in us and in the world, and it's ways that we can understand ourselves in a larger spiritual context.
The danger part. You see, what's the part that when you were first learning, you're like, oh, it's dangerous. Why so?
Yeah. Well, I'm not really sure I understand that part, but I think because it is so deep and complex, and so traditionally, and some people might be aware of this, traditionally, Kabbalah was only taught to men over 40 who were very studied in Torah, which is the five books of Moses, beginning of the Old Testament, and Talmud, which are the oral teachings of the rabbis and the sages from old of how we understand the Torah.
Okay.
And so I think it's that it's not something to be gone into lightly. And I think that the danger is that people can just get maybe too lost in the upper spiritual realms. And really, we're meant to live in this world. This world is a holy place. Doesn't always feel that way. And, you know, there is this kind of disembodied spirituality that a lot of people kind of get into, which is understandable because life is hard and the world is hard. But what I love about Kabbalah and Judaism, and it's hard to separate them, and yet Kabbalah isn't just for Jews, but it's a very non-dualistic approach. And it's a very practical and embodied approach. So it's easy for people to kind of get lost in the ethers, but it's really about living through the physical world, the emotional world, the mental, conceptual, and the spiritual.
Remind me what non-dualistic means.
So non-dualistic means, so we are human splitting machines, right? It's good or it's bad. It's this or it's that. I like it. I don't like it. Black, white, where we get into a lot of trouble. And in non-dual awareness, it's both and. It's this and that. And that's where a lot of real healing comes in, is when we can sit in that paradox of it's this and it's that. Right. So that's kind of the ultimate level of non-duality. Some people take that and kind of extrapolate it into some spacey out-of-body thing, but it's really, it's all of the above.
Yes. And I'm thinking now, as we're talking to Sharon Rosen about Kabbalah, I'm thinking now about how in every practice and religion, you can use it as an escape of life.
Yeah.
Right? In every practice and religion, I'm thinking of people who just get so wrapped up in the rules and they're not in the present moment.
Yeah, or they're sitting on their cushion and they're sitting on the cushion and they're sitting on their cushion, and then they go out and they still can't get their family or can't figure out how to be in good relationships. Yeah.
Got it. This world is a holy place. That's nice when you say that. It's nice to be reminded of that. And I also want to mention, too, you know, back in the day, after I met you, I had heard about Kabbalah because Madonna was wearing that red bracelet, that red ring, right? I had heard about Kabbalah, and I want to know it all. Yeah, I want to eat it all up. And I've actually read 3 books on Kabbalah, but what you say is true. It's not something you can read about and learn. It's something you actually have to practice. You could read about yoga and but so you got to roll your mat out, right? So what does a Kabbalistic practice look like for you today? What does your practice look like?
Interesting. Well, it's funny because I go back and forth. I know how to meditate in so many different traditions. And so sometimes I just do a breath meditation. But this morning I actually did a Kabbalistic meditation based on the 4 universes or 4 worlds, as they're known. And this is one of the things we'll talk about and experience on the 11th, which I'm very excited to share with people. And it's working through the 4 levels of the universes from the most ephemeral, the spiritual, the creation, mental, the emotional, and the physical. And it's very a simple and profound meditation. And it's 4 phrases. I am holy.
Mm.
All is clear. You are loved. It is perfect. And this is a meditation I learned kind of through someone else, but from Rabbi Zalman Schachter Shalomi, who was a wonderful, wonderful teacher and started the Jewish Renewal Movement and was an amazing man.
Wow.
It's a beautiful, beautiful meditation. And so that's one of the things we're going to work with that day.
That's fantastic. That is so fantastic. All right. In reading one of my books of Kabbalah that is so old, the pages are yellow and crinkling and coming out. But I underlined something this morning that this may or may not be true, but it called to me to ask you about it. And this is one of Yehuda Berg's books. The principle behind the Freemasons can be traced back to the same foundation that underlies the spiritual system of Kabbalah, putting the needs of others before your own. Is that true?
Well, Freemasons is a very secret society, so I don't know much about it. But what I do know is I believe, yes, there is a connection with Freemasonry and some Kabbalistic teachings or awarenesses. But it's very mysterious, the Freemason community. So I don't know much about it.
Right. But it strikes me, too, that was also for men. Right, was it?
Well, yes. Yes. And you know, well, there's so much here we can unpack. You know, a lot got lost in the Holocaust. A lot of the learned rebbes of Kabbalah got lost and killed. And there's so much hunger and need for spiritual sustenance now that more started to come out. And I didn't, you know, I'm a woman. I did not study Kabbalah through a rabbinical line. I studied Kabbalah with a man who it really came at it from the point of view of being a healer.
Right.
And having, again, knocked on that door several times, and it took a while before some things opened for him and in him so that he could create this beautiful body of work that's around spiritual healing.
Okay. Our guest is Sharon Rosen. We're talking about Kabbalah. This is Shine On, the Health and Happiness Show. It's being recorded at Lucky Dogs Ranch here in Cold Spring. So if you can hear snoring, those are the pugs. I got them all around my feet. Can you hear them snoring?
I don't know, but that's so sweet.
I think my microphone is, what do you call it? Just focused on my voice and not picking up the background. Yeah. I think we did something in settings, but usually you can just hear these dogs snoring away. So Kabbalah can help us understand our place in the world, remind us of our value. How can it, I guess I'm answering my own question. And that in and of itself can be healing that could heal the mind. But when you talk about Kabbalah and healing and Jason Shulman,
right?
What do you mean?
Well, so one of the first things I heard Jason say is all healing happens in relationship. So what I studied with him, what I learned with him was how to work with other people to help them heal themselves and come back into better relationship with themselves and whatever it is that they're grappling with in life. It's not necessarily, I didn't learn it as a self-healing method. And you might know this a little bit from Reiki, I always call it the dirty little secret of being a healer is that as you are working with others and supporting them, you are also healed and supported.
Ooh, Shazam. Isn't that?
Right. So I didn't study it as, oh, I'm learning how to heal myself. I learned it as part of my professional life to work with others and to support them and help them with the awarenesses and the understandings and the healings we do. There is a component in the Kabbalistic healing work of doing and for lack of a better word, Jason doesn't like to call it energy healing, but it's an energetic vibrational resonant healing that supports the other person.
Are there ancient texts about this that anybody could get their hands on?
No, there are, and you can't understand it. So one of the key books, I used to have some books on my shelf because I was in that training and we didn't have required reading. It was a very experiential training. It was heady, but it wasn't like read. We had a few books that we read, but one of the key texts is called the Sefer Yetzirah, the Book of Formation. And it is not anything that you can read and go, oh, I get it. It's just not. It's a lot of like numbers. It's very almost poetic in its presentation. So there's several books. There's a Sefer Yetzirah. So there's a Sefer Bahir. These are not books that you pick up and read and go, oh, I understand about Kabbalah now. And that's why I said Jason had to like knock on the door. He was reading these books, the Zohar, which is kind of considered the core text. But again, It's very poetic. There's a lot of symbolism. There are a lot of books out there about Kabbalah, and you can read about the different aspects in the Tree of Life and their meanings and the words associated with them. It's not really going to get you there.
I wanted to ask about the Zohar. I think everybody's probably heard that word.
Maybe, yeah.
What is it? It's a book?
It's a book. It's a book. It's one of these ancient texts, probably written around the 13th or 14th century by, I believe, they don't even know for sure who wrote it, but it's mostly attributed to, I don't remember the name, but one of the famous old rabbis from this area in Israel called Safat, which was a real hub of Kabbalistic thinking and teaching back in, I believe, the 14th century.
Is the complicated aspect of Kabbalah, you know, the multiple layers and the language, and is this, you know, puzzle wrapped in a conundrum, is that part of the experience, that it ignites something in us in trying to unravel it?
That's a great question. And I would have to say, yes, that's part of it. Because, like, think about, like, really great poetry, like a really great poem. You don't always necessarily get it with your mind, but you feel it. It touches something in you. And it's because of the very specific way the language is used. And it's as much about the words that aren't in there as the words that are. So yeah, that's a great question. And I would say yes.
Wow. 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 How do you think the first Kabbalists were inspired to walk this path?
Wow. That's a great question. And I think it's a hunger to know God and to understand reality. And I'll tell you a little bit about the maybe the danger part. So there is a famous story in Judaism and Kabbalah about four different rabbis that went to, they went to meet God. They went to try and meet God. And of course, we see in the Bible, like, we can't really understand, we can't really see the face of God, right? Or if you do, you know, you might lose your mind. And so of those four rabbis, you know, one of them died, one of them came running back, one of them lost his mind, and only one of them was able to, because of his own, I think, embodiment and solidity in his humanity, was able to go and come back.
Wow.
Yeah. So I think that's probably part of the danger, mysticism part.
Right. But isn't it true of life today that we can get closest to God when we have done the work to align ourselves with
God? Yes. Absolutely. And to really be in this world and in our bodies. And this is, I always say, this is one of the things I love about Judaism. And I know I'm coming to teach this at a Christian, you know, Catholic retreat center. But Judaism is a very embodied religion, right? It's very home-based. It's a mitzvah is a good deed. It's a great mitzvah to, like, make love on the Sabbath. There's a prayer for having a good bowel movement in the morning, because thank you, God, for making orifices that open when they're supposed to open and close when they're supposed to close. Like, it's an earthy
thing.
You get to God through blessing everything.
Yeah. You get to God through blessing everything. This reminds me of Sister Peggy Murphy, who also teaches at Graymore sometimes. And she talks about Celtic spirituality and how they have a prayer for making your bed. And a prayer for washing your face and brushing.
I love that. Oh my God, that's so Jewish. Yes, it's a prayer. There's a prayer for the first, the first birds in the spring, and for eating the first peach in the summer, and for seeing a rainbow, like everything.
Right.
Everything.
Right.
And that actually, so along with being an amazing teacher, my Jason Shulman, my Kabbalistic healing teacher, is a musician. Mm-hmm. And one of the chants that he wrote, which we will sing that day, is everything that is allowed to exist exists in light.
Mm.
And these prayers, these blessings, this mindfulness, right, is what helps us to remember that and to connect.
Talk to the people who are Catholic or Protestant or Episcopalian or Muslim or any other faith. Talk to them about coming to this event on the 11th.
So I would say, ultimately, There is one source. And there are so many different ways to relate to that source, to connect to that source, to understand it. But there is one source. And that's what Kabbalah is trying to understand, is trying to explain, is trying to enliven in us. And so, yeah, I come at it from being Jewish by birth, but there's a lot of people that were in our training that were not. And there are a lot of people that come to try and understand Kabbalah who are not, because it's about reality. It's about trying to understand and relate in a better way to reality and to the ultimate source of everything that exists.
You know who else was born Jewish?
Yes, I know. I do. Jesus. Exactly. Exactly. And I think there are people who say Jesus was very likely a Kabbalist. He probably studied from that point of view.
Yeah.
Which I just love.
Well, we will get together and explore this more on the 11th of January at Graymore, which is ecumenical and interreligious, although run by Catholics. They welcome all people of all faiths, no faith. Come and enjoy the beautiful mountaintop. And I can't wait to be together with you again, Sharon Rosen. This has been wonderful.
Thank you. I love talking to you, Casey.
Usually at the end of the Shanan show, we have a quote. Do you have a Kabbalistic quote that you can share with us now?
Wow. Oh, yes, I can. Rabbi Isaac the Blind. This quote is actually on my certificate from my training, and it's by way of nourishment and not by way of knowledge.
By way of nourishment and not by way of knowledge. That is our thought for the day. And join us on the 11th for this one-day retreat. You can visit atonementfriars.org for more information, or caseysplace.com. And we'll talk again soon. Shine on. Mm-hmm.